Euronet Plus Panorama is a weekly review of European news broadcast by our network of EU radio stations.
Welcome back to our Panorama podcast. I'm Hermine, and in this episode, we'll look into how Brussels seeks to minimize the burden of environmental regulations on agriculture and the impact of the war in Ukraine on farm markets. Initiatives from Brussels to address the wrath of Europe's farming sector and ease the pressure on its agricultural markets were the focus of our network of European media this week. The anger of farmers across Europe in recent months prompted the European Commission last Friday on the 15th of March to propose a fast-track reform of the Common Agricultural Policy. The simplification package is primarily aimed at reducing the administrative burden of European farmers, particularly with regard to environmental measures. EU Agriculture Commissioner Janusz Wojciechowski is optimistic about the speed with which his package will be adopted. The Polish Ministry of Agriculture, for one, has already expressed its satisfaction with the proposal. Our partner Polskie Radio reports.
There is a lot of support for these changes, and I believe they will indeed come into force. This is the package that DG Agriculture has been working on. The Council was politically consulted on these changes, and they are also consistent with the expectations in the European Parliament. So I believe that they will be quickly adopted before the end of this legislative term by the European Parliament and then by the Council.
Agriculture accounts for more than 10% of the EU's greenhouse gas emissions, mainly in the form of methane and nitrous oxide. Negotiated over 3 years as part of the CAP reform, greening measures were meant to contribute to the bloc's effort to achieve carbon neutrality by 2050. To qualify for support, farmers had to comply with a number of environmental requirements, including permanent grassland and crop rotation. But European farmers, who are exhausted by the economic crisis, the low value placed on their work and difficult work-life conditions, were angry at these measures. So EU leaders called for them to be simplified and relaxed. Under the new proposal, farmers will no longer be required to leave a minimum proportion of arable land fallow. Instead, financial support in the form of eco-schemes will be offered to farmers who choose to avoid production on part of their arable land. The obligation to leave some farmland fallow has never actually been applied. The new EU measure extends a derogation. An obligation to rotate crops on 35% of arable land could also be dropped by member states wishing to do so. It would be replaced by simple crop diversification. Finally, small farms would be exempt from environmental controls. Such farms represent 65% of the beneficiaries of the CAP, though they account for only about 10% of total agricultural area in the EU. On the 19th of March, MEPs in the Agriculture Committee debated these measures with Commissioner Wojciechowski. They generally welcomed the European Commission's proposals for CAP simplification, such as S&D MEP Clara Aguilera.
Yo creo que de simplificación.
I think simplification is the right thing to do. Simplification is necessary, above all, to meet the demands of European farmers. We see this with all farmers. There is a great deal of agreement in the majority of countries in the European Union. There are obviously internal problems with governments, but there is a great deal of agreement in the complaints of European farmers over the administrative burden. So we have to rise to the occasion. I think the proposal to amend the regulation on strategic plans and the horizontal regulation is a step in the right direction.
Still, the reactions were not all cheers and applause. Martin Häusling, himself a farmer, is not convinced. He described the process for the swift adoption of the text as undemocratic as our German IMS colleagues report.
What you're doing here is freeing the common agricultural policy from environmental policy, so to speak. And at a time of climate crisis, you're getting precisely this area. Do you think the farmers will now be happy if you abolish environmental regulations? No, they won't. What we're doing right now is just rewarding riots.
Several MEPs also said that the proposal would not do enough to ensure that more money reached farmers. Martin Häusling was one of these. His comment is again shared by AMS.
So where is the offer that farmers really expected, that their income would increase? None of that has remained.
The package contains proposals for action to strengthen the role of farmers in the food supply chain. But these measures are still insufficient for a number of MEPs. One of these, Herbert Dorfmann, a centre-right Italian MEP from South Tyrol, told Wojciechowski in the debate that the proposal still falls short.
What you said about unfair trade practices is important. We are still treading water here. In the last 2 years, we have also seen significant inflation. But although consumers have paid significantly more for food, that money has not reached the farmers. It has been completely absorbed by the chain. And if you look at the balance sheets of the big retail chains, you can see what has really happened.
Another step in the response to the agricultural crisis was a compromise on the autonomous trade measures granted to war-torn Ukraine in 2022. Farmers, particularly in Central and Eastern Europe, have protested against the favorable treatment given to farmers in Ukraine, a major agricultural producer. Member states and MEPs agreed on Tuesday night to extend EU support for Ukraine for 1 year, while limiting duty-free and quota-free imports of certain agricultural products from Ukraine. They added oats, maize, groats and honey to poultry, sugar and eggs, which were contained in the European Commission's original proposal. Safeguard measures were also introduced for wheat and other cereals. These issues were also on the agenda for European leaders' meeting in Brussels on the 21st and 22nd of March. In particular, how to cut red tape for farmers, strengthen their position in the food supply chain, and ensure fairness in the enforcement of rules such as those on imports. In other news this week, Euronet Plus broadcasters report on the uncertainty and unease within the EU after the Russian presidential election. The conduct of the election was widely considered to be unfair, as Vladimir Putin won another 6-year term in office with 87% of the vote, 10 points more than in 2018. Putin, who has run Russia for nearly 24 years, has suppressed independent media and rights groups and stifled almost all dissent. His main opponent, Alexei Navalny, died in an Arctic prison in February. Kęstutis Budrys, the Lithuanian president chief advisor on national security and defense, declared that the election in Russia was illegitimate. However, the Lithuanian president is cautious about labeling Vladimir Putin an illegitimate president because of the legal intricacies involved in such a declaration. Lithuania's Žinių Radijas reports.
The election process is illegal and illegitimate. I have seen that there is already a debate in the international community about what constitutes an illegitimate leader. We should also have a discussion here in Lithuania, a very practical discussion about how we should treat the leader of a belligerent state, just as there are many nuances in terms of international criminal responsibility.
For Vilnius University political analyst Dovilje Jakniūnaitė, Western leaders may acknowledge the illegality of the Russian election, but they should refrain from taking unilateral actions. She calls for a unified, pan-European stance, as she told our colleagues at Žinių Radijas.
It's preferable to adopt a general European position rather than taking categorical actions against the Russian regime. This would be more sensible, as it would showcase European unity. However, achieving such a consensus may prove challenging, especially considering that a few states are deeply apprehensive about criticizing Putin.
In a communication to the Italian Senate on Tuesday, Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni denounced a farcical election in which people in Ukrainian territory captured and occupied by Russia also voted. our colleagues at Radio 24 report.
We reiterate our condemnation of the farcical elections in the Ukrainian territories and of the events that led to the death of Alexei Navalny, whose sacrifice in the name of freedom will not be forgotten.
And that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Make sure to be back next week for a new episode of our Panorama podcast.